Right about here, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
Somebody's gonna get him, and somebody's gonna get him foot.
Hey, boy! Hey, boy!
It's a very, very personal meeting.
Oh! And what the hell kind of description is that?
This man will make your bladder splatter.
You ain't nothing! Okay?
Does go well with it.
Damn shame how they screwed up your show. Nice little program. Not that I ever watched it.
Greetings, everybody. My name is Jim Shear, and today, Yin's Love, Breaking Bad, Season 5, Episode 9, Blood Money, not to be called Season 6, Episode 1, or Season 5.2, Episode 1. And joining me today, what should I call you, Austin? A former associate producer of VH1's Big Morning Buzz?
That's accurate.
But are you doing bigger and better right now? Could we say?
Different. I work at Broadway Video. So even though we're talking about a very serious drama today, I work in TV comedy.
Okay. Can we call you a media specialist?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's how my friends refer to me.
Media specialist Austin Breslow, one of my favorite guests from the last cycle of these podcasts.
Very kind.
Although, because the reason I got you on the podcast, we would eat lunch every day, and on Mondays, we would just go crazy talking about Breaking Bad, and unfortunately, on the podcast you appeared on, you said that was your least favorite episode of Breaking Bad ever.
That's true. You caught me on a tough week. That was a really tough episode for me.
You were passionate. Now, that was, which, it was the one where Mike zip-tied Hank to a furnace, or zip-tied Walt to a furnace.
Correct.
Okay, and you thought Mike was slipping, and that was uncharacteristic of Mike the Cleaner, Mike Ehrmantraut.
Yeah, if I recall, to put it simply, that Breaking Bad has a very specific world, even if it's not the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that so many things in that episode just didn't work in that Breaking Bad world. There were too many holes, and it just felt kind of like an episode they were kind of stretching to get to the end, and I didn't like it. But the good news is, different story altogether. So it's going to be, this is not going to be as controversial as the last podcast I did.
Because I was saying, listen, Mike's slipping, and then, you know, Mike did slip all season long until he met his match in Walter White.
Yeah, but, you know, Mike should have had a guy in that room with Walter just watching him with a gun. I mean, come on, Mike would have done that.
That was old school Mike. And
I
should point out, too, that if there are any newcomers to this podcast, if you are not caught up on Breaking Bad, please don't listen.
Cool.
Because we will spoil everything.
Oh, yeah.
Including Season 5, Episode 9, Blood Money. So let's go through the recap quickly. It begins with a look into the future, and I love it. It's your typical Breaking Bad, which is a great Breaking Bad. You're like, what's going on? And you're like, oh, it's guys skating in a pool, because that's what guys do. You know, I've actually got to hang out with Tony Alva and Stacy Peralta in California for 2 days, and we drove around California looking for empty pools for them to skate in. So we realized that, oh, wait a second. Is that Walter White's pool? And it is Walter White's pool, and the house looks like crap.
Shocking. It's a shocking image.
Yeah. And then we see the Walter White that we saw in Season 5, Episode 1. Longer hair, a weathered face. He goes into his house. He gets the ricin capsule, goes outside, says hi to Carol, and Carol is in shock. Why isn't...
Drops the oranges, Godfather style.
So does Carol see a ghost? Does Carol watch things on the news and realizes who her neighbor is? Maybe we'll find out. So then we pick up where the last cycle left off. Hank is in Walt's bathroom. He reads the leaves of grass. He drives home in a panic, and what did you think was going to happen in this scene?
Well, in the driving scene where he's freaking out, I was pretty sure he would crash into something, and he crashed into a white picket fence.
And it would have been a bummer if he, you know, he crashed into the side of a bridge and died.
Oh, yeah. That would have been over. It would have been one episode.
That would have thrown us all for a loop. So, yes, Hank crashes into a white picket fence, goes to the hospital, comes back, cuts his bracelet off, and he needs to go to work. Then we see what Walt's up to. I guess a month has passed since the little pool party they had in episode 8. Walt is working side by side with Skyler in a car wash, taking things very seriously, talking about air fresheners and prime placement where they could sell more. Lydia visits the car wash, and she's like, listen, the purity is down. Now, did she say it was down to 68%, 63%?
Yep.
It's not in the high 90s. And I assume that, what's his name? I forgot his name already.
Todd?
Yeah, now Jesse Plemons is the actor.
Who was credited in this episode but did not appear.
Yes, his name was there, but Todd was not there. Although maybe Todd was, you know, referenced. He's making meth, not nearly as good as Walt. No surprise there.
D-minus meth.
Right. Amazingly, Skyler asks Walter, who is that? And he didn't lie. He's like, that's someone I used to work with. And then Skyler goes out and says, get out of here. Never come back. And we should also point out that Lydia was washing a rental car, and that kind of gave her away to Skyler.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Jesse with Badger and Skinny Pete. Jesse is emotionless. This looks like the Jesse post-Jane. Would you agree with that?
I would. This is Jesse at probably the lowest, most hollow that we've seen him. He's not even a person anymore.
Skinny Pete and Badger have a whole Star Trek conversation. I am not a Star Trek fan, so
I'm so glad. I was so nervous that you were going to ask me about Star Trek. That whole thing went over my head. I had no idea what that was. But I guess it was funny, so that's great.
Right, yeah, so if I was a Star Trek fan, I guess that would have been awesome. But for me, I'm like, okay, I get where you're going. Just hurry up and finish this, and let's get on with the final 8 episodes. Jesse goes to Saul. He has his 2 sacks of money. He says, this sack goes to the parents of the kid who got killed. And what was his name? I forget his name. He's like, this goes to the parents of the dead boy, and this goes to Kaylee Ehrmantraut. So Saul calls Walt. Walt visits Jesse. He's like, you can't do that with the money. And that was a nice little scene. Jesse and Walt face off. And I had a problem with this scene, just a minor one. In the last episode, Walt visits Jesse. And Jesse doesn't seem so emotionless. But maybe he had a month to think about it.
Yeah, I think he had some time, and I think basically my take on it was that right when Walt in that last episode delivered the bag of money, Jesse was, I think, wondering if Walt was coming to kill him or what was going on, and he was freaking out. And I think at this point now, because he has nothing going on, Andrea's gone, they're not cooking meth,
mm-hmm.
Mike is gone. He really has nothing to do but listen to Skinny P and Badger talk about Star Trek. Now I think it's like it's beyond him being upset, and he's just like hollowed out. He's had way too much time and nothing to do, and I think that's why he's so emotionless at this point. So I buy that.
I just needed one episode of the transition from last cycle Jesse to current Jesse. Because if you remember, in the last 2 episodes, he goes back to Vominos Pest, and he's like, well, since Mike's gone now, his guys will probably snitch. So we got to do something about it. And then Walt says,
right.
We? No, you're gone. You're out of this. There is no we. Right. So Jesse actually initiated this whole thing. And then in episode 8, Jesse says, well, Saul told me what happened to those guys in the prison. And then Walt said, listen, it needed to be done. And Jesse didn't seem to be in shock then. So I was just, I needed a half of an episode or an episode to show that little transition for him to think it over, mull it over, and be like, okay, maybe Walt did kill Mike. Ooh, okay.
Well, the timeline in Breaking Bad is really hilarious because also in that scene, Walt says something to Jesse like, those were some dark memories back there or something like that. And it was like, wait a minute, that was like a couple of weeks ago that happened. You know, it's always like really funny. And the whole thing is it's ridiculous that the five seasons have taken place in a year.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't make sense. But I guess we kind of go along with it.
We go along with it. And, you know, if in a perfect world, Vince Gilligan would have got 13 episodes and then 13 episodes. So things would have been paced better. So we've got Jesse versus Walt. Walt says, you need to believe me. Basically saying, if you don't believe me, then I might have to get rid of you, Jesse. You need to believe me.
Well, I want to clarify. I almost think he said, and they could be wrong, but I believe it was, I need you to believe me, which I think is very revealing about just how selfish Walt is here. That basically, if Walt told Jesse the truth, then he would probably have to kill Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Jesse would be really upset. Maybe he would try to kill Walt. So it's really interesting that he does say, I swear Mike is alive, but it's just funny that he phrases it, I need you to believe me, basically just saying that it's of course alive, but in order to move ahead, he just needs him to believe him.
It'll make me feel so much better in life.
It's just Walt has truly lost his mind.
So Walt can't find leaves of grass. We also discover that Walt is on chemo. The cancer is back. I like the scene where he kneels down in front of the toilet. That toilet has become a pivotal object in the last two episodes. And then Walt puts two and two together. He goes outside.
Mighty fast.
Yeah, he does. But, you know, he's been good
he's
at that.
Smartest.
Yeah.
He's the smartest.
Yeah. So he goes underneath his car, he finds a tracker, and then it's...
In an amazing shot, by the way. That is like an amazing Steadicam shot from the front door all the way over to the car, around the car, into his face. He's looking both ways. Then we pan down to the tracker, then back up to him, and then out. I mean, you've seen a couple Steadicam operators in your day, and that's a beautiful shot. I love that shot.
And that's why we have Austin on the podcast, a media specialist. So then the episode ends with Walt versus Hank. And this was like Christmas coming early because when Walt pulls out the tracking device and he says, you know what? I found this under my car. This is the same thing that we used when you and I were tracking Gus Fring together. Hank closes the garage door and I thought, because I've been a fan of Breaking Bad for the last five seasons, I thought as soon as that garage door hit the concrete and there was a little reverb, we'd see the credits.
Right.
And it was also around 10 o'clock, too, so I just assumed that the episode was going to wrap. But then, it comes out.
It's all out.
Hank says, I know it's you. Hank punches him. And then they go back and forth, and Walter still denies it. But at the end, he says, "Listen, if you don't know who you're talking to, then you better tread lightly." And then the graphics come up, and I thought it was a spectacular way to start the final eight episodes. What do you think?
I agree, and I think I'm going to go so far as to say that this was a classic episode. I think this will go down as one of the best episodes, and I'm not just saying that because of all the revelations, because I wasn't completely thrilled with the first eight episodes of this season. There were some good things in there.
Okay.
Those first eight were really meant, of course, to tie up some loose ends,
mm-hmm.
even though there were some that were like either poorly tied up or not really tied up. Like, we didn't really see Brock get poisoned, but we had to kind of believe that it all worked out somehow. There were little things that kind of got skipped over, but I really think that this was it was one of the best written episodes, and the whole thing felt like a play. They're really,
yep.
And I love the Breaking Bad episodes that don't have the only violence was the punching of the eye, and then this like
right.
Really, no violence, no drugs.
Yeah, no drugs, no guns. Yeah,
no guns, no nothing. No one died. No bodies. It was just a very straightforward episode, but it was so well written, and there was so much tension from the beginning. I mean, obviously the cold open was amazing, but from the beginning of that, like it had to have been. It felt like 10 minutes, but I think it was probably like 20 seconds of zooming in closely to the door and
yes.
waiting for Hank to come. They made us wait a whole year, and now they're going to make us wait 20 more seconds. I mean, that was amazing, and the everything from the dialogue to the cinematography, it was like really, I think, a great, great, not super exciting and a little bit predictable, honestly, but just a great Breaking Bad episode. Really amazing. And I think if Dean Norris is going to win an Emmy or at least be nominated, for crying out loud, he's never been nominated, which is ridiculous. I think, like, his episode, he was amazing in this episode.
His looks, yeah, because at the end when he's looking at Hank, you legitimately feel the just the raw emotion in Hank.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't even know what to do with himself. And it's and he doesn't even say much. And when he does talk, it's like not even above a whisper.
Yeah,
and the punch is a very clean punch. It's not, you know, he truly does not know what to do with himself. And as he says, he doesn't even know who this guy standing in front of him is.
Yeah. He's like Pantera. He is far beyond driven. I don't know if that reference went over your head, but get that album, kids. And on the album, someone's getting punched in the face. But I'm always...
By the way,
what's that?
Speaking of music real quick, and you are the music guru, what did you think of that song in the montage, the Hank montage?
I didn't mind it.
Yeah. I just wanted to know if there was some significance there for you. I don't know.
No significance for me, but every time they break out a song, I'm like, okay, I like that. In Breaking Bad,
yeah,
you know,
Crystal
is...
Blue Persuasion.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. And Breaking Bad, known for the montages. Sometimes I know the song, sometimes I don't. I was not familiar with that song, and I thought it worked well.
Great.
And I'm amazed that there are more eyes on Breaking Bad now than ever before.
Right.
And then everyone was watching this. They know it's the last 8 episodes. With all of those expectations, they still managed to deliver. And I'm amazed by that, you know, listening to music or watching movies or watching sequels and seeing how people end, you know, movie series. I thought they still got it. There's 7 episodes left and they're still doing it for me.
Well, that's what's so amazing is that I think most people expected that confrontation to happen in the last 3 episodes.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's out of the way and you're thinking, what is there possibly left to do? And it's the same way when Gus Fring died at the end of season 4, you're thinking, we don't even need another season. What is there left to do? And of course we do. There's so much more that can always happen. And these writers are, you know, brilliant.
That's because after the open, they went to commercial and I started dancing in my living room. I'm like, Vince Gilligan and crew, you guys did it again. You got me pumped up for the last 8 episodes. So I have a few questions for you, and I got to let everyone know that we're going to stick to a strict time frame today.
Yes.
We have 12 minutes left.
So ooh, we got a lot to get.
Yeah, let's get this done. When do you think Walt realized his cancer was back?
When did he realize that his cancer was back? Well, I remember that he, at the end of episode 8, in I think the Crystal Blue Persuasion montage.
Yes.
We did see a shot of him going for some tests. I mean, you know, he's going for a PET scan or whatever. And so I believe that him telling Skyler that he's out was not just him realizing how much money they have, but I do believe the little truth that he tells Hank at the end of this episode, even where he says, not that I believe that he only has 6 months left to live. He does say that. But I do believe the part where he says, I'm really trying to beat it this time.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized at some point during the Crystal Blue Persuasion montage in episode 8 that, you know, his cancer was back and he has all this money and he's the king. And it's time to be done, and that's when he comes and tells Skyler that he's done. So I think he's certainly known since then. Who's to say if he actually is, you know, truly terminal and only has 6 months to live the way he told Hank, but I really think that there's something that I think he feels victorious at this point. up until Hank realizing and finding him out, because he sort of done everything he said he wanted to do, and now it's about curing himself, and if he's cured, then it's over.
That was a kind of an oh snap moment for me when he said that his cancer was back. Because I was like, this makes things tricky. Does Hank arrest him? Because if he arrests him, like Walt said, I'll never spend a day in prison. I'll be dead. And then if Hank does arrest him, then it creates a whole conflict with the family. So Hank bite his bottom lip for 6 months until Walt dies? I don't know. And that's why things are so interesting.
Speaking of that last scene, what I loved about it was that Walt confronted Hank, which I think, aside from the cancer surprise, you know, it's like in your head, you kind of always thought, okay, at some point there has to be some confrontation, and it kind of went down the way you think it would. It's nice to, you know, you've been visualizing so long Hank's face when he has this discussion, but I personally was more surprised than the fact that it actually happened was the fact that Walt not only came to Hank to kind of sniff him out, but also pull out this GPS thing.
Right.
And even on top of that, the way he said it, I think he said something like, you're going to laugh, but I found this GPS thing, which I love. It's like Walt knows that Hank knows, and Hank knows that Walt knows, but he still tries to play it off, and he's not even nervous, which I love. As like Walt walks up to there, so cool, not shaking, not nervous. He is like not ready to admit it, but he confronts Hank, which I never thought would be how it would happen.
So no.
Another twist at the end that they gave us.
That whole end scene surprised me all around, because you think that Walt's going to go there. He's going to get a feel on Hank. Hank's going to hurry up, put the documents away, put them in the box. They're going to sniff each other's butts for a couple minutes, and then both are going to leave. And then Walt does kind of walk off, and then, like you said, he comes back with the tracking device, and I'm like, oh, no! And then Hank's like, bam, punches him in the face, and then, like you said, what we thought was going to happen in the last three episodes happened in the first.
And then it's like, what happens next? Is Walt just say, all right, good to see you. I'm out of here. And Hank goes, all right, I'll let you out. I mean, how do they get out of that garage? But obviously, we have to wait for that, but I can't wait.
Whew. And I thought it was a bizarro world, Breaking Bad. So hear me out for a second. Everything was reversed in this episode. A couple episodes ago, Jesse wanted his money. And Walt said, oh, Jesse, that's blood money. And now Jesse doesn't want his money. Walt is being honest about his side hustle with Skyler, because Skyler's like, who's that lady? And Walt's like, well, that's someone I used to work with. Yet, now Walt is lying about his cancer, not telling Skyler. It's a famous picture in Breaking Bad lore. Walt in his underwear cooking meth. And then in this episode, we see Walt in his underwear as a regular citizen, not cooking meth anymore. Walt's car is getting bugged instead of him bugging cars. Hank is now lying about being sick. Walt White in season one would hate working for Walt White now, have an A1 day at the car wash. Skyler is basically Walt now, because remember the one episode where they're at the Home Depot or Lowe's and Walt notices that a guy is cooking meth and he's like, get out of my territory. And now we have Skyler saying, get out. Don't ever come back. And we also realize that Walt is now Gus Fring, because when Lydia visits him at the car wash, it's reminiscent of Walt visiting Gus Fring at the Los Pollos Hermanos.
Sure. And I actually noticed that scene was a dead ringer for that. All the times that Walt would go to Gus's restaurant, Gus would sort of just talk over him and pretend like nothing was going on and he wanted to take his order. I also noticed there's that great scene, the vomiting scene in last night's episode, where he puts the towel down underneath his knees the way that Gus did in that salute episode where he goes and poisons the entire cartel.
Oh, yes!
Now, I noticed that, and I did a little research online today, and there are some theories going around out there, some other things that I didn't notice right away, but sort of follow along the same line, which is this overarching theme of Walt sort of taking on the characteristics and traits of maybe the people he either killed or the people he trumped, the people he sort of took over their jobs and their positions in this game,
uh-huh.
and then costumes there. So in addition to the Gus Fring moments, some other things I saw mentioned online, very small details which probably were not intentional, or maybe they were, in that Walt starts drinking whiskey on the rocks, which is Mike's drink, after he kills Mike, before he just in his drink. After he killed Crazy Eight, he started cutting off the crust on his sandwiches, the way they cut the crust off his sandwiches. So that was interesting. And that also got me thinking about, and this is, of course, just a prediction and looking ahead, but in the cold open of last year's premiere episode where Walt is making 52 out of bacon, the way that Skyler did. So maybe
Austin! You know,
It could be.
That's great.
But I also love, I mean, that all checks out, and I think it's an interesting theory. But even more than anything, and in all fairness, the guy that wrote this episode, Peter Gould, wrote that salute episode. But I just love how, I mean, Gus as a character is so incredible because he was such a professional, even though he was a horrible person. He was so, not just careful and precise, but he was clean, and he took his business very seriously. And I love that Walt is starting to do that. Like, remember when Gus would have those veggie plates with, like, saran wrap over them in his little chicken farm meetings when they had meetings with that detail. Like, this guy is absolutely crazy, but he's putting out a veggie plate for these cartel members he's having a meeting with. And he's putting down a little, you know, towel so his knees don't get scraped up. So I really love that. And then, like you said, that car wash scene, you know, Walt is thinking about the details and where does the 5-hour energy drink go? And, you know, he is taking this business very seriously, even though this business,
right,
the car wash is the front and it's built with blood money.
I like that. So we've got 5 minutes left. What do you think happens to the ricin? And I'm sure that's going to happen near the end. So are you even thinking about the ricin right now?
I'm not thinking too much about the ricin. I think it truly could happen to everybody. I know that we've seen it placed in front of Lydia once already. Remember when he brings it to the restaurant when they're having coffee, and he doesn't end up using it. And that's when he goes home and puts it in the little electric socket.
Right.
So maybe he needs to take care of her. I feel like there are certain people who, if he's going to take care of, he's just going to shoot him. Like, if he needs to take care of Todd, he's not going to poison his coffee with rice. He's going to shoot him in cold blood.
Okay.
So I think it could be Lydia. It could be anybody. My guess is that it probably would be maybe more of a minor character and maybe a little more of a surprise, and that the gun, the M60 or whatever that thing is in his trunk, that's going to be for the Hank or the Jesse or the, you know, whoever.
I think the ricin has to be used, though, because
it
has never been used yet. So Vince Gilligan's famous line is, we use every part of the buffalo. So if you tease that ricin for season after season, eventually you have to see it in action. And I'm interested No, what's that?
He risked going to his old home where his neighbors recognized him to get that thing, so he's going to use that.
Yeah, my question is it that hard to make ricin? Or does he not have
like,
the
capability? Couldn't he just abandon it and make it again?
Yeah, couldn't he make another batch?
That's true, but then we wouldn't have had that cold open, Jim, and that.
Okay. And maybe it will be explained in the next few episodes. And I'll be interested to see if he does kill Lydia, if he has her her tea drink. And then your hunch will be dead on.
Yeah, he better put some stevia in his tea.
And then, hold on, we got 2 minutes left. Final thoughts. What will happen next week? I actually have no idea what's going to happen now. I thought this whole season was going to build up to the Hank-Walt confrontation. That's already taken care of. So what happens next week?
My prediction is that something is happening with this car wash, because I don't think we would have spent as much time as we did there. It obviously served the purpose of showing that they're like going back to normal life, and now they're these car wash owners. I think either the tax stuff or the pushing Bogdan out of the business, the way they got Saul's guy to, you know, illegally sort of pretend that he was doing something wrong at the car wash, and that's how they sold it to Skyler. I feel like he's going to come back there, and that's when Skyler will either be investigated I feel like Skylar has to pay for her crimes too.
Okay.
So I think what's left is sort of eventually some sort of chase going after Walt while Skylar's dealing with her own issues and is maybe also either running away or having to deal with the consequences of her actions. So I think we're going to start to see that. And I feel like Jesse is going to have to turn and help Hank. That's my guess.
Ooh.
I feel like Hank's going to come and say, look, I know you didn't call Marie, like as Hank said to Walt in that last scene.
Mm-hmm.
Walt had Marie's number. Oh, sorry, you didn't call me about Marie getting in an accident or whatever.
Right.
I know that you are guilty, but you are not responsible. And I need you to help me bring this guy down, and I'm sure you hate him too. And I think they're going to sort of do what Walt did with Tio, with Hector Salamanca, where he sort of teamed up with him to combat Gus.
Okay.
A common bad guy.
So all right. I'm down with that. So, Austin, you will have to be on again if you can squeeze it into your schedule. And before we go, I just want to say shame on AMC for once again whoring out Breaking Bad. There's always a new series that follows the premiere of Breaking Bad, whether it be Rubicon. What was the one last year? Small Town Detective or whatever it was.
Yeah, Small Town Security. You know what? That's a good show, but I see what you're
saying. Yeah, they said, oh, we'll show you the teaser after the first commercial break. But the good thing is, now what's the new show called? Low Winter Sun. Low Winter Sun. Gail Bedecker is in Low Winter Sun.
That's the only good thing. That's the only reason that I would possibly watch it, but I'm not even going to watch it.
Yeah, and I want to end on this. When you go see the Rolling Stones in concert, you don't stay for the set after. So there you go. You can't have a show after Breaking Bad. You have Talking Bad on. Yeah, have Talking Bad on right after Breaking Bad.
Agreed.
So, Austin, go do your thing. We'll have you back on the Yin's Love Season 5, whatever episode. We might get you for Episode 8. We'll see.
Whoa.
That will be a coveted and contested spot.
Great.
So thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
For Austin Breslow, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see Yinz later.
So long, farewell, I'll be to say goodnight.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.